Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yes, welcome in to another edition of UAP Weekly. I am Stephen Diener, back with you here on the Unidentified Alien Podcast Weekly Edition. And well, we've got a lot to cover. There's a lot going on. There's no shortage of drama and stories and happenings going on right now in the UAP world. Even this close to the holiday season doesn't mean the UAP world slows down. So I'm going to do my best to make sense out of all of it and kind of lay it out all, or as much as I can anyway, for you here today. And I actually want to start with something I kind of talked about last week, or I should say last time on UAP episode 75 on Bizarre Alien Encounters Part 1. I started off that episode with a factoid talking about Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick. And in that factoid, I was mentioning how the Pentagon came out with a report mentioning all these different sightings that they can't explain, almost 300 of them actually, from over the past few years. There are 17 cases from 2019 to 2022 that are still under investigation. Arrow has received 274 confirmed sightings from April 31st of 2022 through April 30th of this year. Now, April 31st doesn't exist, so I'm not sure why they have that date in there. 30 days has September, April, June, and November. So let's just call that May 1st. How about that? Through April 30th. And so, you know, that was kind of like the numbers that I threw out there during that factoid to start off episode 75. And I kind of wanted to expound on that a little bit as we begin, because we are mainly focusing here today on, I would say 95% focusing on the goings-on between Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick and David Grush, because Kirkpatrick is out. And even though he called those 17 additional cases I mentioned from 2019 to 2022 that are still under investigation, he called those concerning, was the word that he used, because he mentioned that the objects exhibited flight characteristics that they could not really make out or understand. They talked about high-speed travel and unusual maneuverability, you know, the measurables, so to speak, that Lou Elizondo has mentioned, some of the things that, you know, really kind of stick out that make you think, huh, what the heck was that? And Dr. Kirkpatrick's take on that report was basically saying that he was concerned about the national security perspective of things. If these things are not ours, meaning United States, are they an ally? Are they an adversary? Or are they something else? And he acknowledged the fact that it could be something else. And he also acknowledged that basically it is one of those things. And that came out in a report from The Hill, the publication The Hill, that was kind of making waves over the past few days, that Kirkpatrick does at least acknowledge the fact that something is in our skies, okay? And of course, he does this on his way out. He's basically leaving at year's end, and in 2024, we will have a new head of the Aero Division. But he says he doesn't know, again, if whatever this is in our skies that we can't understand or don't know, he doesn't know if it's adversarial or something else. This even, within the past couple of days, goes to a light that was seen in Montreal that they can't explain. Excuse me, not Montreal, Minnesota. Too many M's there to remember. But that happened. There was a light. If you didn't see this video, maybe I can retweet it on the UAP Twitter at UA Podcast 850. You can check that out. I'll repost that there. And you can see this light that kind of streaked across the sky. And even NASA has said that they have confirmed it's not a meteor. So nobody knows what that is. So these are things that are being seen all the time. These are things that are being reported. And even at this point, Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick has to come out and say, yeah, there's something going on and we just don't know what it is. Now, whether or not he's being truthful is kind of what brings us to our whole point here of why he's leaving, because that's where you kind of have this Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick versus David Grush that kind of came about, that made people say, you know what, that's the final straw with Kirkpatrick, because he's not telling us everything. He's saying he doesn't know what these things are, but he can tell us that there is something in our skies. And that doesn't really help. That's not what people are kind of looking for. And so his statement here, Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick, goes on to say that he was basically planning, and this kind of feels like he, this kind of feels like covering your butt type of thing, but he says, when I took the job, I promised going in that I would do a year and they would reevaluate. I have decided to stay on until towards the end of this year, 2023, because there's a couple more things I need to finish. Now, he mentions David Grush here, and this is where the fight kind of starts, where this was kind of the downfall of Dr. Kirkpatrick, which, in my opinion, kind of led to him having to announce that he's stepping down at the end of this year, because there was a lot of backlash here. He says David Grush is a unique instance in that he has refused to come and share any of his information. He says we still can't get him to come in. I've got five different people who have gone to talk to him to get him to come in. Kirkpatrick continues. He says, and the answers have always been everything from we're not cleared to hear it, or it would jeopardize his whistleblower protections. And they've also said, according to Kirkpatrick, why can't we just go get the information that he shared from the inspector general? He says it's every excuse that they keep getting why David Grush is not coming in to speak to Arrow and to Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick. He says that's been a challenge, because now here we are. We're about to put out volume one of the historical review. He says, I believe that's going to capture most of all the people that he's spoken with, but he can't say that 100% because I can't hear what David Grush thinks. If he has evidence, I need to know what that is. And basically what's happened here in this war of words between David Grush and Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick is David Grush says that none of that has happened. And that's the problem. Grush has come out and said that he hasn't, you know, been asked to come in, and he hasn't, you know, basically been pursued by Grush, and he's tried to go in there. So you kind of have like a he said type of thing going on, and no one really knows what's happening. And of course, most people believe David Grush. Not many people believe what Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick has to say, which has kind of led to, again, his downfall. He was under a lot of heat to begin with, right? And I even spoke to Nick Pope about this, who, of course, was the former head of, you know, the British Ministry of Defense, kind of in the same type of position as Dr. Kirkpatrick is in Arrow, that, you know, governmental position. You know, you're leading this department investigating UFOs and UFO claims. And, you know, when I was talking to Nick Pope about that, of course, from Ancient Aliens as well, he said he kind of has sympathy for Dr. Kirkpatrick because he kind of understands some of the plights that he's in, where maybe he wants to say more, but he can't. But it seems like a lot of people are basically calling him a flat-out liar in some cases, especially when it comes to he versus Grush. And a lot of people are taking David Grush's side. And if, you know, look, if Grush is saying that, you know, what Kirkpatrick is saying isn't true about, you know, whether or not how they've spoken or if they haven't spoken, who's pursuing who, there's just too much of surrounding him now to where it's just not constructive anymore for him to be the head of the Arrow division. And that's what's kind of led to this change, in my opinion, as I observe all of this drama taking place from afar. I will say this, though, just in a kind of like a parting shot to that, you know, that scenario there, the events taking place with Dr. Kirkpatrick. I do believe that a report that came out of the Hill a few days ago where he did at least acknowledge something's happening in our skies, but we're just not sure what it is. I did think that was significant, just to kind of reiterate that. We've heard the Pentagon kind of put out a report like that, you know, a couple of years ago that they can't explain, which is why they came up with the Aero Division in the first place. But to continue to kind of put that word out there, remind people, hey, there is something going on, just to put out that reminder, I thought at least that part was pretty significant over the past few days, at least in my opinion. So what can we expect moving forward here? Well, according to reports, at least, you know, as far as leadership is concerned in Aero, it looks like that Dr. Kirkpatrick's deputy, Tim Phillips, will be heading the division. We'll see how long that lasts, if that is an interim-based thing or, you know, if he's going to stay there maybe for the next year or so. We'll see how his tenure and how long that lasts. But I want to kind of go back to a few days ago, last week actually, on November 8th, because something pretty big is going on Capitol Hill. And on November 8th, it really kind of got the ball rolling.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
That was the day when a new amendment was passed by the House Oversight Committee, and that is going to allow, finally, David Grush to regain his security clearance and release top secret info that he knows to members of Congress. Now, that has been the ongoing fight ever since his appearance in front of Congress back during the summer. He kept mentioning, well, if we can get into a skiff, I can tell you more. That has been the fight over the past, what, three or four months, somewhere in there. So I want to go back here to on November 8th when a man named Eric Burleson, representative from Missouri, finally put this amendment on the floor. Here's what he had to say. Here's how he got this one passed.
I rise in support of this amendment, which would increase / decrease funding to express that the Office of Personnel Management should renew the security clearance of David Grush. We need to cover all possible angles here, and if we can get Mr. Grush in a skiff with an active security clearance, that would go a long way. This amendment simply expresses the support for the Office of Personnel Management to renew the security clearance of David Grush so that he can show us his worth.
And so here's the bottom line. The fact is that there are some Congress people who are still pushing for this. Of course, we know Tim Burchett and Ana Paulina Luna and Jaron Moskowitz and even Matt Gaetz has talked about this. Well, Representative Burleson is the one who really kind of, you know, put this motion on the table on the Senate committee floor there and tried to get this passed. And well, here's how it went.
Gentleman yields. Questions on the amendment offered by the gentleman from Missouri. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The amendment is agreed to.
And just like that, David Grush got his security clearance restored. It was as simple as that. And so it's just fascinating to me because, like I said, the push hasn't stopped, even though it's frustrating. You know, we keep hearing different things that kind of get us excited, like, oh, you know, there's going to be a skiff. They're going to talk about this and that, and this person's going to be in there, and this person's going to be listening. And then nothing happens. And the thing has been, and even David Grush has come out to talk about this, if he can get his security clearance restored, which is nuts to begin with, because it never really expired, then he could, you know, officially go into the skiff and talk to different representatives and mention the things that he wanted to mention. Because that's why this is, you know, significant, because when you go back again to that moment in the summer when he testified in front of Congress, where he said he would be happy to name names, locations of where the secret tech and bodies are hidden within that secured meeting, aka the skiff. Now he can actually do that. So that's why that step there, and it is, you know, a first step to basically making that happen. Maybe, you know, whatever you wanted to describe as the first step, maybe the congressional hearing was the first step. But the fact of the matter is, this ball has been slowly, very slowly rolling, and it's hit a lot of different obstacles. And finally, it cleared an obstacle this past week where now David Grush is going to be able to sit in a secure location in the skiff and finally give some type of information to those who have been looking to find out this information. Now, there is something else, though, before we get to that point. On Thursday, November 16th, which if you're listening to this right now, that is tomorrow, because as I do this, it is Wednesday, November 15th, a meeting is going to take place on the 16th between the Intelligence Community Inspector General, the ICIG, with various members of Congress. Now, David Grush will not be at that meeting. But guess who will? The man you just heard a little while ago fighting for Grush to recoup his security clearance, that is Representative Eric Burleson from Missouri. He was on News Nation within the past couple of days, actually, and he did a pretty good interview, I thought. And this was one part that I found fascinating, where he kind of talked about what he wants to have happen in this meeting. What is he expecting to happen? What does he want to have happen? Let's hear from him.
I think that if we can get some specifics, some specific information about what programs that he was referring to, where the locations of these devices are, where the bodies are. So I just want the specifics. I am told that Grush has signed a release to allow for his report to the IG to be released. It is uncertain whether they're going to give us the actual copy of the report or let us read it in the skiff, or whether they're just going to give us a summary. I'm afraid it's the latter. I'm afraid that they're just going to try to give us a summary, which is not going to be acceptable in my book. I want to see the document.
Well, we all want to see the document. Unfortunately, we're all not able to have that type of information laid out in front of us. But, I mean, I'll be honest, Burleson doesn't sound too hopeful there, which kind of, you know, it's kind of a downer for me, really, because you want something significant to take place. And it feels like this was a big step to making something significant happen, where Grush can now name names and things of that nature. But, you know, when he says Grush gives his authority, well, why wouldn't he, right? If he wants to come out and give this information, he should give authority to the Inspector General to release some of this information that he's given to the IG and release that to the congresspeople who are going to be in this, you know, secured meeting in this skiff that is supposed to take place on November 16th. Now, if there is a runaround, though, as, you know, Representative Burleson does sound skeptic, and to be fair, he was skeptic as well during the congressional hearing, but he just wants more answers. He wants more details, and I can't blame him for that, right? I mean, we all want the details behind the claims. I understand that, but he's kind of sounding like, you know, maybe we're going to get the runaround. So what would be the point of that, I guess, is my question. What would be the point of having the runaround? Why go through all this trouble just to send, you know, the inspector general that you've given the information to and just to kind of, you know, give the same type of answers. Well, then let's get Grush in there, right? Now, I'm hopeful. Maybe they are going to hear new things, and that leads to David Grush coming in to speak with the different representatives. Because, you know, you heard Representative Burleson say there he wants to be told the details about the stuff that Grush brought up during the congressional hearing when it comes to the bodies, when it comes to the aircraft, when it comes to where these things are being held. But hypothetically speaking, why wouldn't Grush come in for a meeting in a skiff? I mean, isn't that what he's been waiting to do this entire time? He says he has. He says he'll do it. Representative Burleson was asked that question. If he feels someone behind the scenes is trying to conceal the truth from Congress and maybe actively stonewalling them, maybe that would be the scenario here. Here's how he responded to that.
I haven't seen anything that's compelling me to believe that they're trying to deny us access. Now, to a certain extent, we have gotten information from the IG. We have gotten, obviously, the testimony of the whistleblower, David Grush, and hopefully they'll be able to give us access to his report, and hopefully they'll be able to allow us to bring him in into the skiff. But if we continue, if, for example, they don't allow us to see the report,
right,
they don't allow us to have access to bring Grush into a skiff, then I'm going to start raising alarms that something has been being hidden from Congress.
All right. So it sounds like, honestly, we could be at a crossroads on the 16th. It sounds to me that, you know, this meeting that is going to take place has an enormous amount of importance, really kind of hanging in the balance here, because it depends on what they hear. I mean, if someone like Representative Burleson is not satisfied with what they're hearing, if they're not getting the details, if they're not being read in to the report, then they're going to feel like, well, what are we doing here? What is the point? Are you guys giving us the runaround? Or is there someone behind the scenes that is essentially just trying to spin our wheels? And that is going to be the question that we have to look for, you know, kind of look for the answer once we see this meeting take place. How will this progress, you know, tomorrow being Thursday, November 16th? How will this progress into Friday and into the weekend and even leading into the Thanksgiving holiday? Are we going to hear more about, you know, this skiff having some type of significant meaning to it in the end? And that will lead to a meeting with David Grush? We'll see. You're definitely going to keep an eye on it. It's fascinating. It feels like we are coming to a crossroads, though, when it comes to getting Grush in front of these people and giving them the details that they're looking for. It would be absolutely huge. And I'm not the only one, actually, who thinks that, because there are other prominent names who are out there giving their opinion on what this all means and this whole situation and the importance of it. Because even just within the past few days, Jeremy Corbell appeared on the news with Chris Cuomo and spoke about this situation. Here was his opinion on the whole deal as it stands. He sounds pretty excited.
It's the new beginning. David Grush stepped forward. And remember, he came to me and George Knapp before any of this, before the public knew his name. And he was worried because of the reprisals coming at him. I can tell you, I have personally talked with more than a handful of individuals with direct witness knowledge of these programs. And they do want to come forward. And I'll tell you this, people have come forward.
So who else has come forward, right? I mean, now, we can talk about, you know, of course, Michael Herrera is someone who's come forward. Now, he hasn't been on the congressional stand, but he's made some pretty incredible claims right here on this show and on other outlets. And, of course, you know, Ryan Graves and David Fravor, and there's been other names who have come out to speak about these things. But who else is behind the scenes? Who still might come forward? When will we hear from them? Will, you know, The departure of Dr. Kirkpatrick make people feel more comfortable with speaking to Aero and coming forward and coming out, you know, publicly as whistleblowers? Is David Grush going to give more details, going to inspire more people like him to come out and speak in public? Maybe. Here's what Jeremy Corbell had to say about it.
The subpoenas are coming. That's good. The deal. Getting Grush in there, he's going to name names. The subpoenas are coming.
Well, and that's the other part of this, right? Not only who else could come out and talk as far as a public whistleblower is concerned, but what could it mean with David Grush if he gets into that skiff with the congressional members to give the details, the names, the dates, the locations of where craft and bodies are being kept, where reverse engineer technology is being, you know, worked on a regular basis. The black sites, so to speak, that I just spoke about with Michael Herrera, where he says, you know, even he's speaking to an insider and has gone to the black sites. So all of this is happening behind the scenes. And it's fascinating because if David Grush is able to go and give details in that secure setting, it could lead to subpoenas. But then the question is, how serious will Congress then take this? There's two ways you can go. You can say Congress says, oh, my gosh, this is insane. You are actually backing up all of your claims. And, you know, company A, B, and C and location A, B, and C actually has these things. And this is going to change everything. So we have to subpoena, you know, names X, Y, and Z to get this out in the open and have oversight. Or will they go the other way and say, thanks for your time, David. Thanks for the information. We're just going to take it from here and we'll handle it. And by handle it, meaning it's too much to put out into the open and they're going to sweep it under the rug and try to maybe do things behind the scenes that would create some type of oversight. I don't know. You know, again, these are all things that remain to be seen. Now, that second one frustrates me because that's what we've seen over the past, you know, 80 years as far as cover-ups and concealing and lies and deceit is concerned. But, you know, we keep saying if when it comes to David Grush, you know, actually speaking to those in Congress, there is word out there that he has told people he is going back to D.C. within the next week or so.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So my question is, if he does go back within the next week or so, how does this all line up with the holidays? You know, when it comes to timing, again, as I speak now, you know, Thanksgiving is a week away here in the United States. And then right after that, you're getting into December, you're getting into Christmas time. Is the timing of all this an intentional distraction? I hate to say that. Intentional by who? I'm not sure. But if we're talking about a significant movement in the disclosure department here, and it's going to be happening during the holiday season, how many people are going to be paying attention to it at that point? That's kind of my concern behind it. Now, I will be paying attention to it, and I will do my best to follow it and give you all the details as things happen, if anything happens. But it just, the timing of all this as we come into the holiday season is kind of curious for me. But man, just to go back real quick to what Jeremy Corbell said there, how sweet would that be? How juicy is that to think about subpoenas for some of these, you know, names, these black site projects or whoever it might be, to get people in there to answer questions who are actually at the head of some of these companies and, you know, these private companies and things like that. It would, that would be a game changer for sure, which is why I guess he mentioned, you know, kind of being like a new beginning with all this. But, you know, actually on that note, what did David Grush have to say about some of these things when it comes to government cover-ups and private companies? He was recently doing an interview, and I found this pretty intriguing. He kind of mentioned, he puts it all together, I guess I should say, when it comes to the secrecy surrounding this issue and how and why it works. And it does kind of go all the way back to the Manhattan Project when we talk about government secrecy and private companies. Here's what David Grush actually had to say about some of these things.
Yeah, there's certainly been private corporations involved, you know, both, you know, federally funded research and development centers and for-profit companies that have contracted with the U.S. government over the years. Like I've mentioned in other interviews, the U.S. government overlaid the Manhattan Project secrecy, personnel, generally what elements were involved corporately and governmentally in that too. Atomic Energy Commission, which, you know, morphed into Department of Energy, Nuclear Regulatory Commission later.
So a lot there. I mean, when you talk about, you know, the Department of Energy, how things kind of morphed and it kind of all connects to, you know, the nuclear secrets. That's how they're able to basically justify the cover-up, the overall cover-up dating back, you know, to the Manhattan Project. This level of secrecy we're dealing with, a lot, there's a lot on the line in the coming weeks and in the months, I would say. You know, what kind of developments could we see? If Grush testifies in this GIF, it could blow open a lid of secrecy that has been sealed for nearly 80 years. I mean, when you think about it, will that be allowed to happen, though? Because when you talk about these private corporations, there's a lot of money involved. And when you talk about the way they've done things for the past 80 years with kind of using that loophole of, well, it all ties back to, you know, nuclear secrets and atomic secrets. And that's how the Department of Energy ends up getting involved. And they could be a main player here. I know a lot of people have suspected that for a long time. And it does make sense when you think about how that, you know, Atomic Energy Commission kind of rolled into the Department of Energy. It makes sense that a lot of this stonewalling could be coming from there, or even government, you know, cooperation behind the scenes with black site operators could be coming from there. So if that's the case, will this lid of secrecy even be, again, allowed to be blown off when it comes to anything that David Grush or any other whistleblower has to say? How much is going to be able to come out into the public? That is the golden question. That has been the golden question. I really do feel like we're kind of at a crossroads with some of this information and naming names and things of that nature, possible subpoenas, and some of this information, you know, coming out. It's seeping out, and there's only so much you can do to contain it, I think, in my opinion, as time goes on. I guess one of the main questions, too, would be how much is David Grush willing to reveal? You know, he mentioned in another recent interview, actually that same interview that you heard that clip there where he talked about the Manhattan Project, he was asked about the number of bodies. Remember him talking about the biologics when he was testifying in front of Congress? Well, he says in that interview that he will publicly reveal more details about the non-human bodies recovered, said he would do that at a later date. Now, we talk about, you know, in the public. Now, will he reveal that in a skiff sooner rather than later? Because he also talks about number of bodies being in the double digits. He says that we have double digits when it comes to the number of alien bodies that we have recovered. And he talks about different morphologies, different states. Do we have live aliens? I mean, of course, that has been a theory many, you know, over many, many years, you know, that we're even working with different species of aliens, you know, on underground bases. Those have been things that people have spoken about. But when you have a guy like David Grush coming out and saying that we have, you know, alien bodies that number in the double digits in different states, could one of those states be living? I mean, that could, my gosh, it's just wild. Like, that might be some type of, you know, confirmation when it comes to, you know, mind-blowing detail, or, you know, that could be confirmed, something that we've been speculating about that could be confirmed. There's so much more to come, I believe, on what David Grush is going to say in public and what he is going to say privately behind closed doors, hopefully in a skiff in front of congressional members. And also the bottom line is it's going to be with a different head of the Aero Division, because there was just too much button of heads going on with Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick. So that is another hopeful thing to see how things kind of progress now that there's going to be new leadership, and now that Grush has his security clearance back and he's able to go in and talk about these things. A lot to keep an eye on, like I said, in the coming weeks, the coming months. I have a feeling 2024 is going to be pretty wild with more details coming out. And speaking of pretty wild, before we go here today, I did mention there were some other pressing matters that I wanted to get to real quick, because believe it or not, there were more details that came out when it came to, yes, the alien mummies that were presented at the Mexican UAP hearings, because they did have a second hearing. I don't know how many people paid attention to this, but they did have a second hearing just about a week ago. And during that hearing in Mexico, they mentioned, one of the witnesses mentioned that when it comes to the alien mummies, they said 11 prestigious scientists have signed a letter confirming the authenticity of alien bodies in Peru. And they showed more pictures of what looked like these different alien mummies, kind of like in a sitting position, arms folded over their knees. It's pretty wild. And they show CAT scans and x-rays at this congressional hearing. They had researchers come out who declared, they say, an authentic set of three-fingered Peruvian mummies recently presented as potential evidence of non-human life forms. They didn't, I guess, certify that the remains were extraterrestrial, but they did. They say that they authenticated them as actual beings. And that has kind of been the, I guess, you know, question the whole time. Are these things even real bodies? And according to these officials, they're saying they are real. And they testified to that in front of the, Mexican Congress at this second congressional hearing that they had about a week ago. It didn't really hit the news as much as the first one did. But, you know, at that hearing, it was pretty interesting to hear them say that, yeah, these bodies are real. But the question continues to be, what are they? So more speculation while also kind of getting answers at the same time. I know that's kind of an oxymoron there, but that is the situation that we find ourselves in here today. We have to take everything that we can get while still saying, but there's still more to find out. Speaking of which, the last thing I wanted to mention here today, because like I said, there is a lot to unfold, but just quickly, I wanted to mention this. This new picture that came out, actually, Jeremy Corbell put it out. I mentioned him here earlier in the show today. This weird-looking UFO, UAP, whatever you want to call it, like a corkscrew-looking thing, that according to the reports, this was like a an interaction that took place, a violent interaction that took place between British fighter jets and this UAP drone. We don't know. There are varying reports that say that the fighter pilots fired at this craft in 2021 over Syria, that they may have recovered the craft, or that nothing happened to it at all. There's a lot of varying reports with this. I know, so I can't give a lot of details on it because it is news, so I don't want to like come out and just sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. But in this thing, it's just a weird looking craft. I just wanted to mention basically that I know it's out there. If you've seen the reports on this thing, if you've seen the pictures, I honestly don't know what it is. I've never seen a craft look like this thing before. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll retweet that as well on the UAP Twitter at UAPodcast850. So like I said, a lot going on. Sorry to, you know, fill up your head here today with so many things, but just trying to keep it in front of me so I can give you everything that I know is happening and kind of present it in a way where I hope it makes sense. But all that said, that'll do it for me here today on this edition of UAP Weekly. I'm also keeping an eye on the continued events unfolding in Peru. Maybe some more updates on that coming up in the future. I spoke to Timothy Alberino a little bit on Twitter. We're trying to coordinate schedules and actually have him on the show here because he went down to Peru and investigated in person, got in front of, you know, what's happening and spoke to the locals there. So looking forward to having him on at some point. I'll keep you updated on when Timothy Alberino might be on the show here as we try to coordinate schedules and get him on. Obviously, he's a very busy guy. But also, of course, you can keep up with all the latest that is going on right there, like I said, on Twitter at the UAP account there, UAPodcast850 on Twitter, and on all the social media, TikTok, YouTube, all that good stuff. It's the same name, UAPodcast850. You can also shoot me an email if you like, sdienerUAP, that's sdienerUAP@gmail.com. Any questions, concerns, or comments that you want to throw my way, feel free, or even if you have a story that you want to relate, I appreciate that as well. I always try to answer everybody back. It may not be right away by any means, but I will get back to you. I can promise you that. Also, check out UAPpodcast.com. Like I said in the previous episode, that is up and running. You can find everything UAP right there on UAPpodcast.com. It is an awesome website. They did a great job with that behind the scenes. But thank you again to everyone who's been listening and who has been, hanging out with me all this time. I really appreciate all of you so much for sticking with me and for making me feel special in this community. I'm going to do my best to continue to earn that from you. So until next time, it's Stephen Diener here on UAP, the Unidentified Alien Podcast Weekly Edition. Much more to come in the future. Stay tuned to all the social channels, like I said, for all the latest updates. And I'll talk to you again soon. Thanks.